The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So the theme for this week is the seven factors of awakening. And the second factor of awakening is usually called investigation. And that's how I was taught that when I was in Asia and Burma and teachers here in the West. And I think it's a wonderful quality to bring to mindfulness is to investigate. And the one word that I like, the kind of Vipassana word for that encapsulates this quality of investigation is the word what. Just the word what. What is this? What? And I like this word because if in asking what is this, we don't answer the question with words, like with an understanding, but rather it's a movement of opening to being more receptive, more attentive, to let things, to register things more fully, as if the what is answered by reality, not by our thinking mind. It's just like what, and then available. And so investigation is often how it's translated. I think it's especially what I'm going to do for this week and what's going on in our society. I want to take us to the literal meaning of the word and probably closer to what the Buddha meant. The Pali word is Dhamma Vichaya, and Vichaya means to differentiate, to distinguish. Some people will translate it as discriminate, and I would do that except that we have such strong connotations of that word, I do, associations with bias. But to differentiate, to distinguish, to dharmas. And dharmas can mean anything at all, the particularity of anything. Each kind of detail of things is a dharma, but it also means mental qualities. The quality of the different functions of the mind, what's happening in the mind. And but the important thing I want to emphasize is a differentiation. So mindfulness is a foundation, is the beginning. It's not the end of practice. To really be able to rest in mindfulness and really be attentive is very satisfying, very meaningful. But the clearer the mindfulness becomes, the clearer the awareness is really established in the present moment and really begin seeing clearly, the more we start seeing each thing in and of itself. We see the distinctions between things. Rather than seeing going out on the sidewalk and just seeing I'm on the street, we see the cracks in the sidewalk and we see the little grass that's growing up in the gaps between the in the cracks of the sidewalk, and we see the details of what's happening, and we're starting to see greater and greater details. Like things began highlighted. It's like seeing in greater and greater resolution our experience. And so it isn't so much the active investigation, thinking, and probing that Dhamma Vichaya means. But rather, it's starting to distinguish and differentiate the particularities of what's happening rather than the generalizations of ideas we have about what's happening. So I might be sitting, and I might have this idea that my breathing's uncomfortable as I meditate, and my mind keeps wandering off, and so the generalization might be, this is a bad day to meditate. I shouldn't have sat down to meditate. So that's very far removed from really taking in the details of the moment and really kind of being settled and aware to see and differentiate that the breathing is just uncomfortable. I've eaten too much, my belly is distended, and it feels uncomfortable to kind of exhale into that kind of belly and that I'm thinking about something, and there's a detail in my mind keeps going off a little bit, for me, off into the right hemisphere somehow, the right direction, as I think about something that's happening at home, which is kind of the direction of home for me, sitting here. And I'm starting to see the details of it all, and the details are not a judgment. Details are just seeing clearly for what it is. And I could then kind of open and rest in the distended belly and just feel it's uncomfortable, but I don't have to make it a problem. I just see distended belly. And this movement towards differentiation allows us to do something very powerful. And that is, we begin to be able to make the distinction, to see clearly the differentiation between different qualities of attention, different qualities of mind that are engaged when we're doing anything. And this is really at the heart of the onward leading nature of the Dharma. And that is, as we're able to settle in mindfulness and really kind of become seek more and more clearly to the experience and see and settle and see and settle further and really be, at some point we start seeing the dhammas of the mind, the different mental qualities. And we start to differentiate between the things that we're doing in our mind that are skillful and things that we do that are unskillful. To put it in very experiential terms, so it's not too abstract, we start feeling, seeing, sensing the qualities of what the mind is doing that have a sense of ouch as part of it, or those things, the qualities of the mind that have a, ah, that's nice, that's good. We start differentiating between what has qualities of stress or ease, what has qualities of pleasant and versus what brings dis-ease, what unpleasant. And as we begin kind of just becoming more sensitive to this and start seeing deeper and deeper into how the mind functions, then, for example, we can do that with mindfulness itself, with the meditation itself. We can at some point notice that I'm actually leaning forward, I'm really trying in a way that I'm contracted and tight and being mindful. And that contracted and tight feels unskillful. There's an ouch in it. There's a little unpleasantness in that. And perhaps just knowing that, something releases and relaxes. I don't need to be leaning forward and straining to try to be mindful. Or I can make the adjustment to be not tight and contracted in mindfulness, but see if I can be relaxed and mindful. And so this ability to differentiate what's happening in the mind or in the heart gives us a tremendous wisdom, because we can start seeing, you know, that if we're really centered on ourselves and take in the information that's here and differentiate what's going on and stay present, we can feel that as we say something which is mean-spirited, we can feel the ouch that's in us as we say it. As we start saying something that's kind, we can feel how, ah, that's nice. Or if the kindness is somehow off, is somehow, I don't know, not really, it's more like a pity or something. It's possible, actually, if you're really centered, to feel, oh, my kindness, what I think is kindness is a little bit off. It feels uncomfortable. I feel tight. I feel constricted. There's a lot of self involved, and the selfing itself is kind of a tightness and constriction. Or if we feel that we're being mean, about to be mean to someone, it certainly feels uncomfortable. But if we really start differentiating, we see that underneath that meanness is we feel afraid or feel somehow maybe. And we're trying to protect ourselves. And so that's interesting. Maybe I can find how to protect myself without being mean. Find a different way. And so the idea is we have a tremendous amount of information that's available to us in terms of the quality of our hearts and minds as we engage in the world. And this investigation isn't so much probing and analyzing what that is, but rather the mindfulness helps become more and more sensitive. And so the path to this kind of investigation is a path of relaxed awareness, settling in and abiding in awareness. One of the most frequent ways the Buddha talks about mindfulness is that it's not something we do so much, but something we establish and something we enter and something we abide in. So this is, all these kinds of verbs don't suggest an act of doing something, but rather something there we can enter, something there that we establish or abide in, rest in. And so as we're resting in this mindfulness, abiding and learning how to be centered in this, this capacity to differentiate becomes stronger and stronger. And this is a treasure. The seven factors of awakening are considered the crown jewels of Buddhism. And then we, as we differentiate and see the details more, we start becoming our own teacher. We start seeing the Dharma in ourselves. The differentiation of the Dharmas is to see the teachings in our own moment-to-moment experience. And it's not very complicated. It's as simple as the ouch and the ah, the feeling of the stress or the de-stressing, the ease or the unease that's there in subtler and subtler ways. And to learn how to be, and with that experience of differentiation, of seeing clearly what's going on inside of us, kind of keeps opening up two paths, maybe very, very broad paths, but one is towards greater freedom, and the other is to greater loss of freedom, and caughtness, bondage even, this ancient language. And to feel and sense and smell the movement towards freedom through this capacity to differentiate our experience, to see the particularity of it. And so one of the reasons in mindfulness practice we are trying to shift our into an attentional mode, into the mode of a kind of silent awareness, almost silent awareness, as opposed to the mode of thinking our way through life, or everything is processed through the filter of our thoughts, ideas, our stories, our commentaries that we might have about things. Then, if we can kind of step back from that and have a deeper foundation that's aware of experience and keep resting in it and opening and resting and coming here, slowly over time, what will happen is with that foundation of mindfulness, the differentiation of our experience, the seeing the distinctions within it, seeing the particularity of things begins to kind of become, you know, clearer and clearer. And this is where wisdom begins to be born. This is where the path to greater awakening begins happening. And this is where we can participate better in the our world. Because if we know ourselves well enough, we can pick up the subtle ways in which we're off in our communication with others, or the big ways that we are. We can pick up the cues inside of what really is wishing for the welfare of others and what is not. And we'll discover in this process that it's in for our own benefit to live for the welfare of others, and for our own harm to live the opposite, to be concerned with the, you know, harming others or putting down others or being critical of others or being prejudiced towards others or being racist. It's, you know, it's a kind of self-harm. We'll discover that not because we have to analyze it or believe it, but we get the data, we get the information from within. So mindfulness is just the beginning of the path. And and in terms of the seven factors of awakening, the path then continues through the innate natural capacity of heightened sensitivity to the uniqueness and specialness of each detail of experience as it unfolds for us. It's a beautiful thing. So thank you. And I look forward to our time tomorrow.